to talk about the Mets, the decision-making, the bullpen, and what happens next, we bring in Tim Healy from Newsday out there in San Diego covering the team. Hey, Tim, how are you?
I'm excellent, Lori. How are you?
I'm good, and I heard your some of the questions, including yours, in the postgame with Carlos Mendoza, and I know you could look at what is probably the toughest 10-game stretch for this team of the season with three against, they take two out of three against the Orioles. They go out to San Diego and they split, and you would have signed up for that in advance, but when they were, you know, won the two out of the first three, were up 2-0 in this game, and then they lose it, it felt like a gut punch on Sunday. Did this loss just somehow feel worse, either to you or as you were with the team and in the clubhouse?
Yes, it does feel worse. This is one that they should have had, and the Mets know that they should have had it, because, as you said, coming into the series, yes, they would have been happy for a split. That would have been a moral victory of sorts. But then when you take two out of the first three, and you're winning in the eighth inning and five outs away from taking three out of four, then that's a game you have to have, especially at this time of year, especially when you know the Braves lost earlier in the day. And as the Mets very often remind us, every game counts. These games count as much as any other. So it's definitely a missed opportunity, as you said at the beginning. And this one stinks. It really does.
So I think in general, Carlos Mendoza has done a good job in his first year as Mets manager. But I thought this weekend in terms of bullpen decisions, and I want to start actually with yesterday. On Saturday, the Mets are up 7-1, and Mendoza decides to go with Daniel Nunez, who just back off the injured list, but has been really in many ways the Mets' most reliable relief pitcher this season. And Mendoza brings him into a 7-1 game, and he uses him for, one and two-thirds for five outs yesterday. Once he does that, then Nunez is not available on Sunday. Now we fast forward to Sunday, and yes, Jose Buto and Edwin Diaz were both available, but I thought that, so let's start, though, with Nunez. Would things potentially have been different or could have been different if Mendoza sees on Sunday that Buto maybe doesn't have his best stuff and doesn't look great? Is everything different potentially if he has Nunez available?
It could have been different, but in Nunez's first game back from the injured list, they wanted to get him in an easier spot, which is what they did with Reed Garrett previously, which is not really uncommon. I was a little surprised they used Nunez for five outs on Saturday, which totally took him out of action for Sunday, as you said. But realistically, they weren't going to pitch him Saturday and Sunday back-to-back in his first appearances back, because they're so careful with these guys. They really like to protect them. So I wasn't too surprised. I honestly thought Nunez maybe would have gotten an inning and gotten that soft landing spot on Friday when the Mets were down by a bunch, but they didn't go that route. They waited till Saturday. So would Sunday have turned out different if Daniel Nunez was available? Yeah, maybe, but I think if you're the Mets, as you manage through Saturday, you figure going into Sunday, if you happen to have a late lead on the day Jose Quintana is pitching, then you'll be able to get by with Jose Buto, Phil Maton, and Edwin Diaz. So on paper, worked out great, but in reality, obviously, the pitchers didn't make pitches.
Yeah, so now let's go then to Sunday and some of the decisions there. Yes, pitchers have to make pitches, and bullpen guys can make managers look smart or not. But you asked, I heard you ask in the post game. This was a day when Buto just did not seem to have his good stuff. And
yes.
And Mendoza even said that in the post game. Like, he admitted that Jose Buto was having a hard time getting ahead of hitters, and he felt, Mendoza, the Mets manager, thought that that what really cost them the game was when Buto walks the number 9 hitter. And, you know, he gets ahead 0-2 there and then walks the number 9 hitter. If he can see that, why not in that situation go get your pitcher and get him out of this game?
I had the same question, and Edwin Diaz was warming up in that moment. What Carlos Mendoza said was he did not want to ask Edwin Diaz for what would have been a 5-out save. He was only going to go as far as 4-out. And then so naturally the follow-up question is, what's the difference between 4-outs and 5-outs, really?
Right.
And Mendoza didn't really go into his entire decision-making process. He said a lot goes into it. Diaz had warmed up earlier, and he's had a few of those sort of false starts lately where he warms up, in some cases throws a lot to warm up, and then ends up not pitching. So even though you don't see it in Edwin Diaz's game log, it is a little bit of a workload, and he's had a bunch of those in the past week, honestly, even though he hasn't gotten into many games. So that factored into it, but I keep coming back to, he's your closer. Whether or not he has pitched a lot lately, if you are comfortable going to him for more than an inning, those two ups, as baseball people say, the 8th and the 9th, then what's 3 or 4 more pitches, 5, 6 more pitches to get that 5th out? So it didn't really make a ton of sense to me, and it didn't work out.
Yeah, I thought his answer was more like 5 outs. It's one more than 4. You know, it's like, it's right. It goes to 11. It's one more than 10. Like, I don't know. You're either pitching them for, you know, is it 5 outs? Is it 4 outs? If you don't want to do that. But then, all right, then go to Phil Maton and bring him in and have, you know, clearly Buto, you posted also on, I saw this on X, so, you know, instead of quoting you, you say it, but also talk about, maybe we should be starting to think about Jose Buto a little bit differently than the lights out, maybe second best Mets reliever that we saw earlier this season.
Yes, Buto, as excellent as he was for a month plus out of the bullpen, has definitely regressed some lately. And the stat that I think you're referencing is that in his first 10 appearances, he pitched more than 20 innings, allowed 2 runs, and 6 walks. That's a great stretch for Jose Buto, who is pitching in relief for really the first time in his life. In his 5 appearances since then, he's got more than a walk an inning and twice as many earned runs. So is this a recovery or rest issue for Jose Buto? Maybe. Is his arm slot a little off and wrong, as Ron Darling thought maybe was the case on SNY in the moment during the game? That could be. Or is this just Jose Buto, who's not really proven at the major league level, having an amazing stretch and now coming back down to earth a little bit? That could be the case too. So he had worked himself into a place, and the Mets worked themselves into a place where he was their best setup guy ahead of Edwin Diaz. So I don't blame the Mets at all for going to him in this spot or in other recent spots, but clearly he isn't quite as effective lately.
Talking to Tim Healy from Newsday about the Mets, a missed opportunity against the Padres on Sunday. And part of what made it feel like a missed opportunity, and what's sad is what, you know, if they don't implode in the bullpen in the 8th and 9th innings, then it was otherwise a beautiful ball game and such a well-played ball game. And, you know, start with the defense, and the defense up the middle, both Iglesias and Lindor, and the plays they made in this game.
They are a delight to watch. separately, but especially together. They have a lot of chemistry as a double play combo. That play that Iglesias made today, I would not be able to do it justice describing it on the radio, so I encourage everybody to seek out the highlight, but the snag and the kicking the base for the force out and sort of rolling the ball to set to first, trying to get the double play, which was not going to happen, but that even got one out on that play was very impressive. The other night, there was a bases loaded double play that Jose Iglesias started on a ball that, for a lot of second basemen, is a clean single to right field and plates one or two. So for all the things that Iglesias has done well and made an impact with the Mets, his defense is absolutely right up there, which is saying something because his OPS is still over 800.
Yeah, and it's a shame because we should be talking about that, and instead we're lamenting bullpen usage and talking about that. Before I let you go, also wanted to get to some not so great news. What's the latest for Mets fans that may have missed it? Brett Baty.
Brett Baty got hit by a pitch a couple days ago in Syracuse and broke a finger, and he is out for 4 to 6 weeks. When you're out for 4 to 6 weeks in late August, that very well may be the season. So a lost year for Brett Baty with a painful potential ending, which is really bad timing for him because rosters expand next Sunday, and he was looking like the no-brainer choice for the position player to get called up. Now, obviously, that can't happen, and it leaves him in a really weird spot in his career. Going into the offseason, he's not healthy. He doesn't really have an obvious place on the 2025 Mets. So Brett Baty has to show something next spring training, or else it's going to get awkward.
Finally, the team mood after a loss like this that felt like, I mean, the momentum, take 3 out of 4 from the Padres, get to Arizona only a game and a half behind the Braves. What was the mood in the sense of, like, did you sense anything with the team that here they are now and they're 2.5 back and kind of treading water with the season? Look, we're at 31 games left, and there's not, with every day it gets harder to make it round.
The mood was predictably down because the Mets know where they're at, which is fighting an uphill battle to try to get into the playoffs, and they know that they should have had this one. And I think, J.D. Martinez put it well when he said, needed this one. And Carlos Mendoza said, talked about how tough it was. So it's that it was a missed opportunity. Lost opportunity was not lost on the Mets. And it just goes to show, as much as this one hurt, it goes to show how much of an additional missed opportunity it is to lose an extra game to the Angels, lose an extra game to the Rockies, get swept by the Mariners, who are good, yes, but you shouldn't really be getting swept if you're trying to get to the playoffs. So they are treading water, as you said. I think during this particular stretch against the Orioles, Padres, and now this week coming up the Diamondbacks, if they tread water there, even if they lose the D-backs series and go 5-5 in this 10-game stretch, that's pretty much a fine outcome. But it's the other lost opportunities against worse teams or when you have the late lead like today, those hurt. And, it's really going to come down to the wire with the Braves and whomever else for that last wild card spot. And the Mets are kicking themselves after today.
Yeah, there's a late season series in September against the Braves, and those three games we'll see. Are the Mets going to be in a position where they have to sweep those three if they want to get into the playoffs? It may come down to that.
It very well may, yeah. It was a big series to begin with, and then they had that rainout in April that added an extra game to that series. So it's going to be highly entertaining, I suspect.
All right, Tim Healy, on to Arizona. Travel safe and appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much, Lori.